Okay, this is List Building 202. First, we're going to start off with a super quick review of some of the high points from List Building 101. Now, remember that, I mean, the real answer to how you build a list is that you always focus on list building in everything you do. And I have made that the cornerstone of my business from the very start, and that's made all the difference. So it's amazing the ways you can find to build your list if you make that your number one focus. In fact, I've heard it said, I think it was Dan Kennedy, you don't build a list to sell product, you sell product to build a list. So in other words, even in your sales process, selling is ultimately the way to build a list of buyers. Now, I mentioned this in List Building 101. There's two primary lists you're going to have. You'll end up with more than that, but in your mind, you need to think you've got prospects and you've got buyers. Buyers are worth typically 10 to 15 times what a prospect is worth in terms of if you're looking at your overall list. So if you've got a list of 100 buyers, that's like having, 1,000 to 1,500 prospects. So in any case, always focus on list building. And your list building metrics, these are the measures. Those are some of the most important metrics in your business. So key metrics are, what's a subscriber worth? Now, if you're just starting out a list, you're not going to know. But as soon as you start to generate some revenue, then you can sit there and start to calculate back into what is a subscriber or a customer worth. And then you're going to want to know what's then you've got your two lists. What's a prospect subscriber worth and what's a customer or client subscriber worth? And then what is your opt-in percentage? What's your unsubscription rate? And is your list growing and how fast is it growing? Okay, so the list building formula is basically traffic plus conversion equals a list. So traffic is just the different ways you can pull in traffic to your website. And conversion is the idea, when someone subscribes, you convert them from just a visitor to a subscriber, a visitor to a list member, a visitor to a client who is then on your client list. So the basic list for building formula is you get traffic and, you work on getting traffic and building your traffic. Then you work on your conversion to subscribers, and then that equals your list. So in this list building 202, we're mostly going to focus on the traffic portion of this formula, in one way to get traffic. But first, we're going to just touch on some of the conversion stuff here. Now, I mentioned this over and over and over again. The most important decision you're going to make in terms of picking a vendor or a supplier for your business is your list hosting, and I'm not going to make any bones about it. My favorite is AWeber. If you're going to go with AWeber, I would really, I'd love it if you went with profollow.com. That's my private label version. There's only two differences between profollow.com and AWeber.com. Well, actually three. One is the name, profollow.com. That's the domain that I own. Two is that if you go with profollow.com, then you'll get some extra bonuses from me, some bonus training videos. Those haven't been created yet. As soon as I wrap up Prospect Formula 2.0 in a few more weeks, then I'll create those videos and you'll get those extra training videos. These are some of the stuff that I've figured out that isn't really covered in the documentation at AWeber. Some of the ninja tricks I've come up with. And then the third difference what is the third difference? The first difference is the name difference. The second is that you'll get the bonus videos. And the third is I'll get a small affiliate commission if you go with profollow.com. It's my private label version. I've spent several thousand dollars with AWeber, and then they set me up with the Profollow. That gives me a branded domain name, and then I can just promote Profollow instead of sending it to an affiliate link. So there's really no difference. All the support and everything comes from AWeber. All the features are from AWeber. All of the deliverability monitoring, all their work on getting your email delivered, that's all AWeber. It's the exact same thing. It just has a different name. Okay, moving right along. So in terms of converting visitors to, you know, visitors to your website to subscribers, we're going to look at three primary ways. And again, this is review, so I'm going to move quickly. We have squeeze pages, pop-ups, and subscription boxes. So this, a squeeze page, you know, is basically where someone lands on your page, you give them a small amount of text, and then you give them, you know, they can either opt in or they can leave your page. You make it, you force them to make a decision, either to subscribe to your list or to leave your page. You don't give them any other options. So you give them some amount of text. So here's an example that I used for Product Launch Formula. Here's another example. This is actually, you can see where I got my design. This is a design from the Double Your Dating product. So I basically took their design and used it in mine. This site is actually published by Eben Pagan, who you may have heard of, and he's becoming quite the marketing guru. He also has his Double Your Dating site, which is a very, very big business. So this has been tested very thoroughly, this design, and it has worked for him. So I borrowed it and I used it, and it tested out pretty well for me as well. So that's a squeeze page. And then pop-ups, you know, here's your page right here, you know, this overall thing. And then after someone's there for a few seconds, they'll get this pop-up on the screen. This is this type of pop-up is called a pop-over. It doesn't open up a new window. It just it pops up this image right here, right in the window. And, you know, people can either click to close it or they can subscribe here. Now, I heard of a recent test from someone I knew who they went from having just a little opt-in box on the side of their page to using one of these pop-overs. And they got like several hundred times more subscribers by going with this way. They were going, you know, maybe four or five, six people a day were subscribing. And then they went to a popover, and then they were getting several hundred people per day were opting in. So these can be very, very effective. Here's another example of a popover. And then there's another example of a popover. They're also called DHTML pops, which stands for dynamic HTML. They're also called like sliding boxes. They're called a whole bunch of different things. They're very, very effective. So squeeze pages and then pop-ups, popovers, DHTML pops, whatever you want to call them. Then this is the least effective way. It's just using a subscription box like this, where you've got a subscription box off on the side. And so like this is where, like, if you had something like this, and if instead you had went with one of those popovers, you could actually have this but also use a popover, and you would see greatly improved results on most websites. Here's another example of a subscription box off on the side here. This isn't the most effective way, but it's the most unobtrusive way. For most people listening to this, if you're just getting started with list building, this is probably not the best way to go. This is the way you're going to want to go on a big content site that's got lots and lots of content. And here's another example of a subscription box. And this is actually a subscription box. This is a learn guitar site, Jamarama, and in their big long sales letter, in the middle of their sales letter, then they have this subscription box. So this is a little more in your face than something like this, where they just, you know, it's off on the side. So here's just another, it's an inline subscription box that's right in line with this in the middle of the sales letter. Okay, so now we're going to talk about using natural traffic. There's lots of ways to do this. One is through natural search traffic. So that's people are just finding you from Google or other search engines like Yahoo or MSN. They're getting to your site, and then you use these conversion methods that I just showed you to try to get them to subscribe. The second one is by writing articles, having those around the web, like at easingarticles.com. And then the other one would be links, forums, and everything else. So that links would be going to other websites and getting links and try to get traffic from them. Forums would be posting on related forums. I've showed you how to find the forums in your niche. It's very, very easy. Just go to Google and type in, like, if your site is about learning guitar, you just go to Google and type in learn guitar and then the word forums, and you would find the active forums. Then if you went and participated in the forums, then you could put, you don't want to go in and spam the forums and just start posting a bunch of links, but go to the forums, become a member of the forums, And then you can point people to your site after you become a valued member, or you can put most forums will let you put what they call a signature at the end of your post, and that signature might have a link back to your site. Generally, it's not a way to drive a ton of traffic, but it's a way to drive high quality traffic. So, yeah, that's like three of the main ways here to drive traffic to your website. Okay, so now we're going to talk about getting free traffic. This is this first one that I talked about, the natural search traffic. We're going to talk about a way that I've been able to do that. This is pretty easy to do. It takes a little bit of time, but it's easy and very, very inexpensive. So we're going to talk about using, basically, we're going to talk about creating a site with a blog and then putting up keyword-focused posts on your blog, building up a critical mass of those posts where you start to pull in traffic. And doing this, it's really not that hard to pull, you know, a couple hundred visitors a day. And then if you can get it, if say if you're getting 200 visitors or 300 visitors a day, if you can get your conversion rate to be a 10%, well, that ends up being, here, I'll do the math right here. If you're getting 300 people a day, or yeah, let's say 300 people a day times a 10% rate, times 10%, that equals 30 people a day. There we go. So 30 people a day comes out to 900 people a month. 900 people a month comes out to more than 10,000 people a year. And you can build a real business around that. So if you can get to that 300 visitors a day and get to a 10% conversion, or maybe you get your conversion higher, you know, if you're at 200 visitors a day and you can get your conversion to 15%, you're at the same place. So this is the way that numbers that don't seem that big can really build over time. And I actually had a site that was averaging about 23 subscribers a day. And over time, I built that list up to almost 80,000 people. And this is in a high dollar niche. And because the way it works is, you know, you just keep on getting those day after day, it starts to add up. And then as the list gets bigger, there's other ways you can build a list. Like you can trade mentions, you can trade out advertising in your site and your list for advertising in another list and start to build your site quickly. Or you can just create content, mail it to your list, and all of a sudden, if you have a bigger list, they'll help you take that content viral, and all of a sudden you'll get a big rush of new subscribers. So with very, very small numbers, you can start to build a real business. So let's take a look further into how I do this and how I build one of these sites. I'm going to walk you through step by step. Okay, the first thing we need to do is talk about keyword research. And this, with keyword research, you're basically looking to find out what people in your niche are searching for. And so, I mean, once you figure out what they're searching for, then you can create content because, I mean, that tells you what they're interested in. But also, when you create content for that, then you can get good search engine rankings for those search terms. I'll walk you through this in just a second. Now, entire courses are taught on keyword research. I mean, this is like a lot of things. It could get as complicated as you want. So I'm just going to give you the basics here. Now, the service I use and have used for years for keyword research is WordTracker.com. It's not the only service out there. There's other keyword services that you can use. This is just one I've used for a long time. One of the reasons I'm going to show you is because they have this free keyword. This is a paid service, and it's not inexpensive. If you buy a year subscription, it can be fairly expensive. But they also have a free tool that you can use, and it's right here, freekeywords.wordtracker.com. I'm sorry that's difficult to read. If I could figure out a way to make it easier to read here, that's actually a link, and PowerPoint knows that I've clicked on that link before, so it grays it out. So I don't know how to fix that. So I hope you can read that. It's freekeywords.wordtracker.com. I'm going to take you over there and show you the basics of using this. Okay, here we are. As you can see, it's freekeywords.com freekeywords.wordtracker.com. This is Word Tracker. If you click here, I'm sure they'll be happy to take your money. There's your pricing. It's for an annual subscription. It's $329 a year. You can get a monthly subscription for $59. So this is, like I said, it's not inexpensive. A lot of people I know view this or some other keyword tool as being a very essential part of their arsenal. I'll typically just go for the yearly subscription. But let me show you the free tool, because this will get you started as well. So basically what you do is you type in your term here, and say we're going to do a site on to teach people how to play guitar, then you could just type in learn guitar. Actually, I usually start off with the most broad range, the really, really broad term. So guitar would be the most broad term. And you just hit a little hit me button. And here are the searches. So the number one search with the word guitar in it is guitar tabs. Guitar tabs, it's a form of reading music without having to actually read music. This is people that are basically looking for the music for songs to play on their guitar. Guitar Hero, that's a video game. Guitar Hero 3 is a video game. Guitar Center is a physical store for buying guitar stuff. As you can see down here, now this is the first one that's overtly about learning guitar right here, is online guitar lessons, guitar lessons online, guitar lessons. But this will give you all these terms over here. If you just scroll down, and I'm not sure how many terms it gave you right here. But now one thing that's significant is this number here. And I'm not sure exactly what that number is supposed to represent. I think it might be how many times each month this is searched on, their estimate. I view those numbers, those actual numbers, as pure fantasy. I don't think they have any real relation to reality and how many times something is really searched. But I do look at these on a relative sense. So guitar tabs is searched 8,500 times, versus free guitar tabs is only 1,926 times. So this is more than four times as popular a search as free guitar tabs. Now, of course, if you're trying to get a good ranking in the search engines, it's probably going to be easier to get a good ranking for free guitar tabs than it is for guitar tabs. Because, that's just the way it is. The broader the term, the more general the term, the harder it is to get a good ranking. So what we're going to do is actually let's narrow this down a little bit into what we're actually looking at, which is learn guitar. Okay, so now you see down here the top phrases. Learn to play guitar is the number one, followed by learn guitar, then learn to play the guitar. And you can see these terms are searched much less frequently than the overall broad terms. But that's okay. I mean, we're more looking for, like I said, the relative number. So learn to play guitar is searched like 100 times more than learn and master guitar. Now, one thing, if you're going to build a website, it's great to have the search terms in your domain name. So if you're going to build a new domain, and what we're talking about here is we're building a keyword-focused domain to pull in traffic, it's often good to set up your own domain just to do this. So you might have you've built out a website, you've built with a squeeze page or with lessons or which is content, your main sort of flagship site, your money site, as Jeff Johnson would say, your main site. Well, you can go and create another site that and just do the strategy I'm going to teach you on how to, that is basically keyword-focused blogging. And so when you're going to get a domain name, you should look for a domain name that has the search phrase. It might be a good one to have, to build learn guitar into your domain name. So it could be, learn guitar now, or learn guitar ninja, or quick quickly learn guitar, or quickly learn to play guitar.com. You know, fastlearnguitar.com. Put your one of the top phrases that you're going to be going for in the domain name. Okay, so that's your basics on keyword research. You can go as deep into this, like I said, you can go a lot deeper in this than I have, but that's just like the basics of keyword research. And again, freekeywords.wordtracker.com is the place you can do it for free. Okay, now I want to quickly cover setting up your blog. The blogging software that I use and that I recommend is called WordPress, and it's available for free. And it's got a big community, and a lot of people are continually developing extensions for it, so the capabilities just keep on growing. You can get it free at wordpress.org, and you can install it on just about any kind of website. And the installation is very, very simple and easy. And you could probably, if you can't figure it out, and it is very, very simple, but if you can't figure it out, you can probably get it installed for, you know, $20 or $30 by someone at either rentacoder.com or elance.com or on Craigslist. Now, there's another alternative. There's this thing called cPanel. And cPanel is something that a lot of web hosts, if you go to a different, certain web hosts, when you sign up for your hosting, they'll actually install in your account something called cPanel. That stands for control panel. And that control panel makes a lot of the things with your web server really push button simple to use. So part of cPanel is this thing called Fantastico. And if you have cPanel with Fantastico, then it basically makes the installation of WordPress completely automatic. Now, a couple web hosts that have, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of web hosts that offer cPanel with Fantastico. Two of the ones that I have used and have had good luck with are midphase.com and lunarpages.com. Now, I'm not saying these are the people you want to host your, if you're going to do some mega product launch, these probably aren't the people you would use for that. But for hosting a relatively modest traffic site with just a WordPress blog that you're going to use to try to get more subscribers, these, in my experience, these two have been well up to the task in the past. You know, things can always change going forward, but, you know, they've worked for me, and they're very inexpensive, anywhere from, you know, $8 or $9 a month to get a website. So now I want to cover using Control Panel to set up WordPress, and you'll see just how easy this is. Okay, so this is basically, I've logged into one of my niche websites. And this is basically what Control Panel looks like. I've taken a couple of these. I've covered up some sensitive information because I don't want you guys seeing the inside and having someone hack my site. So I've put in a couple of these. These are text files to cover some of the basics. But you can see this is Control Panel. And there's all these icons here. You can click on these to set up various things on your website. And here I've just scrolled down so you can see some more of the icons. And here's the Fantastico. So I'm going to go ahead and click on this. So now you're in Fantastico. And these things over here are all these different things you can go ahead and install very quickly that basically Fantastico will install for you automatically. Now the one we're interested in here is WordPress right there. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that. Okay, so now we're within the WordPress installation. Again, I've put this here just to cover up some sensitive information. But basically, you just tell it what directory to install it in. If you want it on the main homepage, you can leave that blank. And if you're just setting up a new site to do this, then that's probably the best thing to do. Otherwise, you could put it in the blog directory, in which case you would just enter the word blog in there, and then it would be, you know, if your site was Ninja Learn Guitar, it would be ninjalearnguitar.com/blog. So if you leave it blank, it would be in ninjalearnguitar.com, and that's where your blog would be. If you, whatever word you put in there, it will create a directory, and that's the directory where your blog will be. Then you just go ahead and you create sort of an overall administrator username and a password. Then you put in an administration nickname and a password. Put your site name. So if it was Ninja Learn Guitar, you would put Ninja Learn Guitar here. And you could put in a short description there. Then put in your email or put in an email, any email address and a password. And then the server is usually your domain. And then you just click the button. So I'm going to go ahead and fill this stuff out and show you how easy it is to create a blog. Okay, I've gone in and filled this out. I'm going to put it in the test directory just so you can see it. You know, this isn't a real blog I'm creating. I've created an administrator name of test and a password of 123456. Don't use this in your installation. Put in a real username and put in a real password, but I'm just doing this for illustrative purposes. And that's about it. You just fill this information out, and now I'm going to go ahead and hit the enter button, and in about 30 seconds, I'm going to have a new blog. And it's that simple. Here I am, 10 seconds later, I just went ahead and hit the button. It created it. And I've got my new blog. Here's the title that I put in, was Learn Guitar. Here's that description, was Learn How to Play Guitar Here. And, that's it. You've got a blog. It's real easy to go and, now this is the most generic looking blog, but it's real easy to go ahead and get templates. Just, in fact, here I'll show you a site where you can get templates. Here we are. This is just themes.wordpress.net, and you can see there's all kinds of themes here, and for the most part they're free, and you can just click on there's just all kinds of them, and if you can't find what you want here, just go here. And I did a search on templates, but this is really what you want to just do, a search on WordPress themes, and you're going to find tons and tons of themes. And for the most part, a lot of them are free. Okay, here we are back on our blog. So what you want to do is you want to log in. And I was already logged in here, so it took me right here. I'm logged in as Jeff. But basically, you use those credentials that you created when you set up your blog. And remember, I set it up as test, and my password is 123456. So I entered that, and now I'm logged in. Now, once you're logged in, this is sort of the dashboard. You can go to manage, and you can see your posts. Now, when it starts off, it creates that little Hello World post. This is just a test post. You can see it went up 8 minutes ago. You're going to want to delete that one. But right now, let's just go ahead and write a new post. And you're going to see this isn't much more difficult than using a word processor. So what you do is okay, so we basically, that's it. I'm going to click publish. And now you have, you've published to your blog. So here's your first post right here. And that, I mean, I just wanted to show you how setting up a blog and publishing to a blog is very, very simple. Now I want to show you how you're going to make this effective in terms of that keyword research I showed you. Okay, now we're back over at Word Tracker, and here's our Learn Guitar Words. And so basically you're going to want to create keyword phrases around each, keyword focused blog posts. So a blog post about each one of these phrases. And the general rule of thumb is the one that gets the most searches, the most general generic ones like Learn Guitar, they're going to be the hardest one to get a good search engine ranking. So you can do those, but you know, as you get down here, like Learn to Play Acoustic Guitar is going to be a lot easier to get some traction in the search engines. So now if you go to the paid version of Word Tracker, they'll tell you not only how many times it's been searched, but how many competitors there are. And then you can look for the phrase that gets lots of searches, but not many competitors. And that will be an easy one to win on in the search engines. So anyways, you would pick out, say, here we go, Learn to Play Blues Guitar. So then what you would do is you would create a blog post just about that phrase. So let me give you some specifics on how to do that. So these are your rules. Each blog post focuses on one keyword phrase. Now you can have multiple posts per keyword phrase. So in other words, say it was Learn How to Play Blues Guitar, you could do a blog post on that one, and you could do a blog post on it again in another month or whatever, another week or two. So you can do multiple posts per keyword phrase, but make sure each post focuses on one keyword phrase. So if it's going to be Learn How to Play Blues Guitar, you would write a post on Learn How to Play Blues Guitar. Now you can create more than one post about that, you know, as long as they're different. And I wouldn't do it, you know, back to back days. I would spread them apart. So do one now and do one 3 or 4 weeks from now. Make your post between 300 and 600 words long. Most text editors and word processing programs have word count functions in them, so you can see how long your post is. And I would vary them. I wouldn't make them all 300 words. I'd make some 300, some 500, some 400, some 600. That just gives you an overall range to shoot for. Now, this is important. Put the keyword phrase in the title of your post. It's real simple. So if it's Learn How to Play Blues Guitar, then the title for your post could be Learn How to Play Blues Guitar, or it could be I've always wanted to learn how to play blues guitar, or it's not too hard to learn to play blues guitar. Next, you take that keyword phrase and you put it in the first sentence of the post. Again, boy, you know, one thing I've always struggled with is learning how to play blues guitar. Period. There's your first phrase. There's your first sentence for the post. Now you want to make your post at least three paragraphs long. So if it's like a 300 word type of post, maybe it's three paragraphs long. If it's 600 words, it might be six or eight paragraphs long. Use the keyword phrase in each paragraph, especially if you're doing something that's like three or four paragraphs long. Now, if you're writing a 600 word blog post that's got eight paragraphs, then you probably don't want to use it in each one. But try to use it, you know, in several of the paragraphs, and definitely that first paragraph and the last paragraph. And then you just go ahead and publish it. And you've got yourself a keyword focused blog post that should do well. I mean, not every blog post is going to be a winner in the search engines, but this is the way you get good rankings with keyword focused blog posts. So now you've seen how to set up a WordPress blog, and you've seen how to do your basic keyword research, and then how to take that and turn it into a blog post. Now, what you need to do is you should start off with one or two blog posts per day. Now, if you're really, really enthusiastic, then you can start off and, you know, knock out 5 or 10 and put them on the site right away. The general rule of thumb is you don't want to build a site too quickly, But what we're talking about here is, I mean, that's the case where you're adding hundreds and hundreds of pages per day. If you can start off with 5 or 10 pages, it's no problem. Because remember, each blog post will have its own unique page. And really what winning in the search engines has always come down to is having content. And, you know, the more words on a page you have, or the more words you have on pages and the more unique pages you have, the better you're going to do. So, you know, if you don't want to go the quick start plan and knock out 5 or 10 blog posts right away, you can start off with 1 or 2 blog posts per day. That means in a month, depending whether you work your average work days or if you work every day, you're going to have anywhere from 20 to 60 blog posts. So after a month, remember each one of those is a unique page. You're going to have 20 to 60 different pages on your website. So don't stop after that first month. Keep on going. If you can keep on doing one post per day, that's going to build into a serious traffic stream. So if you do this, you're going to start to see traffic to your site within weeks and maybe even within days. Like if you end up that first month with 60 blog posts, you could easily start seeing 100, 200 unique visitors per day. You know, it's all going to depend on what niche you're in. Also, if you could get incoming links to your site, that's, you know, even better. That's a whole nother subject I can't get into. But if you even get a few incoming links to your site, that will help you get that much more traffic. But anyways, you're going to start seeing traffic within weeks. So even if you get to 50 to 100 visitors per day, you can build a serious business with that kind of volume. And, you know, with this plan I've shown you, if you just get those first 20 to 60 blog posts up and then you try to be consistent, even if it's only, you know, 2 or 3 blog posts per week, if you consistently add more keyword focused blog posts, you're going to build this kind of traffic. And, you know, when you get this kind of traffic, you know, it's game over. Then you start to build your list like I showed you earlier. You put in the DHTML pop-ups on your site. You go get a profollow.com account and take one of those pop-ups, put it on your site, and those visitors will start turning into subscribers. And again, say you're getting 100 visits a day, which is pretty darn modest, and you get them to subscribe to your list at even 10%, which again is pretty modest, not hard to do. That's 10 subscribers a day, 300 subscribers per month, 3,600 subscribers per year. You can build a serious business with that. So this is your basic list building 202 plan, and I walked you through. Now I admit I went through this fairly quickly, but this isn't crazy rocket science stuff. This is stuff anyone can do. If you get one of those, you know, if you just do a simple WordPress installation, do some basic keyword research, and start making those blog posts.